You know, I can only imagine what it must have been like to have been in the presence of Jesus Christ in a very personal and private setting, much like Peter, James, and John. You know, we often call them the inner circle of our Lord's friends. But I've often wondered what it must have been like to have been perhaps in that circle, or perhaps even more especially to be like John, the beloved disciple of Jesus. For no doubt he was with him on many occasions and he heard the Lord speak. You know, we're not really privy to every conversation that Jesus our Lord had with all of the disciples. John 20 says that truly many other things did Jesus in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But he said, but these are written that you might believe, and believing you might have life through his name. I don't know about you, but I enjoy quiet time with God. You know, I guess you could say my special quiet time, and Audrey will tell you this, I get up every morning about 5 o'clock. And not boasting about that, it's just something I do. And I go to bed at 6, but no, not really. But I get up every morning about 5 o'clock. And during that period of time between 5 o'clock and generally about 8:15 or 8:30 when I get here at the building every morning, is what I call my quiet time with God. And it is during that time that I often reflect upon a lot of things. I reflect upon the Lord and what he's done for me. I reflect upon what I'm going to do for him that day. I reflect upon perhaps souls that I want to reach, things that I want to do to continue to encourage you as members of his family here. There are just a lot of things that go through my mind. And, you know, I would encourage you to spend time with God, just the two of you. You know, God desires that we spend time with him. He came to unlock every door and to tear down every barrier so we could come to God and so we could spend time with him. Do you know that we are born with an innate desire to worship someone or something? Now, I know not everybody worships God. There are all kinds of little gods in this world that people worship. It may be an inanimate object. It may be an animate object. Sometimes people worship a lot of different things. As a matter of fact, I would think you'd almost have to teach someone not to worship. Because there's just that innate desire, as I said, within us to worship something or someone. I think the reason for that is when the Bible says that you and I come into this world in a state of innocence, and it was Zechariah who said that I have been created upright from my mother's womb. And when David said, a lot of people think there's a tremendous contradiction there, when David said I was created or I was born in sin. What David's talking about there is not that he was conceived in a sinful way, but that he was conceived in a sinful world. When he talks about being born in sin. So I think there is that desire for us to worship God, and quiet time is so important. It's important that we meet collectively, but it really is important that we spend quiet time with God. Would you turn in your Bibles tonight to the book of Psalms, chapter 37. Psalms, chapter 37. David says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. But trust in the Lord, and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land. And verily thou shalt be fed. He says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, and trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him, and fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. I want to share with you tonight what I really believe are four promises that God has made to you and He has made to me when we spend time with Him. I would tell you, first of all, that when I spend time with me, and I can say it firsthand, but I really believe the Bible teaches it also, it teaches and it causes me to reflect upon the character of God. In Psalms 37, verse 4, it says, "Delight yourself in the Lord." Do you know that you cannot delight in someone you do not know? If I were to ask you tonight, do you really know God? And by the way, the word "know" in the original language which the Bible uses, that word deals with an intimacy. It's not just having a knowledge of God. That's not really what he's talking about here at all. But he says, delight yourself in the Lord. You cannot delight in someone that you do not know. We have to get to know God. And the word delight in the Hebrew actually meant to take pleasure in. You enjoy it. That's why I never understand why people don't, enjoy coming to worship. How can you delight in God if you don't worship Him? He doesn't say, delight in your car, as I mentioned this morning. He doesn't say, delight in your house. He doesn't say, delight in your relationships with everyone else, or delight in your children. And we, by the way, he says it's all right to delight in your grandchildren. But no, he doesn't say that. But he does say that we are to delight in the Lord, not in your education, not in your marriage or your job. Have you ever noticed that the more time that you spend with people, the more you become like them? You ever notice? That's kind of scary, isn't it? The more you spend with people, the more you become like them. Have you ever said, and I'm not calling any names in this church, but have you ever noticed some people that have lived together for 50 or 60 years in this congregation, how they kind of look alike? Folks, I'm telling you, it's true. I have seen people, and documentaries have been done on television concerning this. I'm serious, and I'm honest about it. Have you ever noticed that sometimes people start looking like their pets? I mean, really. I mean, you get around my people, say a woman that has no husband, but she has a dog. Have you ever noticed that, how they walk down the street? You know, maybe that little dog has a pug nose, and you kind of look at her and you think, my goodness, striking. It is amazing how much we start looking alike. You want to look like God? Start spending time with God. Seriously. The more time you spend with God, the more like God you will become. I'm not talking about people that have pug noses either. Merv Griffin, a number of years ago, had a talk show. Many of you remember Merv Griffin. And anyway, on this particular afternoon, Charlton Heston was his guest. And in the discussion that pursued, he asked Charlton Heston the question. He said, "Charlton, I remember early on in your life, you were not as spiritual as you are today." He said, "What is it that really captured and changed your character into what it is today?" And you know what Charlton Heston said? Charlton Heston said, "You cannot be on Mount Sinai 40 days with God and it not change your character." You remember he played Moses in the Ten Commandments. He said, "You cannot play the part of Moses without becoming like Moses and drawing close unto God." And it is true. But there's another benefit, I think, that God gives unto us when we spend time with Him, is that we receive His blessings. I want you to notice again what Psalms 37:4 says. It says that if we delight in Him, He will give us the desires of our heart. I want you to notice up front one thing that He is not talking about. Some people might say, well, here comes a Mercedes. No, that's not the desire He's talking about. Or here comes my stimulus package. No. Here comes my $500,000 job. No, that's not what He's talking about either. You see, what He's talking about is He says your desire, when you make His desire your desire, you will have delighted in Him. Delight in the original language, in the Hebrew language in which this particular passage was written, tells us that delight means to fall in love with God. It comes before selfish desires, and many of us have selfish desires. We all have our own pursuit, what we want. We are selfish, are we not? Have you ever noticed, even though kids come into the world in a very innocent state, it isn't long before they become very selfish. I want. That's one of the first expressions or statements that kids make. I want. You listen to them talk. There are selfish desires, and we all have them. And selfishness causes us to do a lot of things. That's not the kind of desire that David has reference to. When he says, delight yourself in God, notice that delight comes before the desire. Delight in God, and then the desires of your heart will be given to you. There are also not only selfish desires, there are satanic desires. That is, desires that are of Satan, lust and the evil. Evil desires that are wrong, that come out of temptation. And that's why Paul told Timothy as a young man to flee temptation and evil lust. And that's why Jesus, when He taught His disciples to pray in Matthew 6, taught them to pray in this way: lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. But then there is not only the selfish desire or the satanic desire, but then there is the sanctified desire. That is the desire of God. That is the kind of desire that He is talking about. The desires that are God's desires. That is, God says, I want you to want what I want. I don't want you to want what you want and want me to want what you want, but I want you to want what I want. And when you want what God wants, He will give you the desires of your heart. That's why in the book of James, the Bible says, think not that we will receive anything of the Lord when we want to consume His blessings only upon our own selves and not think of others or even think of God. Sometimes people never think of God. King Solomon, no doubt, was the wisest man that ever lived, apart from our Savior, of course. When you look in the Old Testament, the life of Solomon was really stupendous. Solomon went to God, and God says, Solomon, you know what? I'm going to give you the desires of your heart. But you know what his desire was? His desire was not for wealth. His desire was not for a bigger chariot. His desire was not for fame, not for fortune, not for popularity. His desire was not for material things. But I want you to notice what Solomon said. We often say, well, Solomon prayed for wisdom. That isn't what the Bible says. The Word of God says that Solomon said, give me an understanding heart that I might lead your people. An understanding heart. But because he prayed for an understanding heart, God gave him wealth. He was the wealthiest man, I think, really, that ever lived. You talk about the fat cats on Wall Street. Solomon had more than any of them, folks. And God didn't condemn it. God gave it to him. Not wrong to have money. God gives it to you. Wrong to have it if you love it and if it becomes your God and you get up every day and you start stroking it and telling it how much you love it. But when God gives it to you, it's all right. And Solomon had it. He had power. Most powerful man. Everybody came to see Solomon. Everybody came to hear of his wisdom and his understanding. Everybody came to see his fortune and the beautiful temple that he had constructed over a period of 7 years with over 7,000 laborers, 700,000 laborers. And the Bible says that when the Queen of Sheba came up from the south and looked at all of the huge and magnificent splendor of that temple, she said the half had never been told. He had fame. He had fortune. He had power. He had influence. All because he wanted what God wanted. And I'm convinced that when we want what God wants, his blessings come to us. I'm convinced of it. But when you read again the book of Psalms 37 and verse 5, listen to what God says again. Commit thy way unto the Lord, and trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. I think that particular passage teaches me that I must rely upon God. Not only do I receive his blessings, his fellowship, but I must rely on God. Have you ever thought about the fact that many of us rush about and we fret and we worry about a lot of things in life, things we don't have, and if we have it, we worry about losing it? I hear people talk about it all the time. You know, what they've got in the stock market and what they've got in the bank. You know, what's going to happen if it all collapses, and what's going to happen if what Barack Obama says, President Barack Obama says, that this, we just may have a terrible calamity here and everything collapses. You know, Christians don't have to worry about that. David said, I've been old, I've been young. And I've never seen the righteous forsaken or God's people begging bread. They went through some destitute times, folks. I'm going to tell you something. We've never been through what God's people had to go through. When you think about the fact that they were out in the wilderness and God fed them only a daily portion, quail and manna from heaven, and that was their diet every day, that was it. Every day. And if they were to gather more quail than they could eat, you know what happened to it? Spoiled. Same thing with the bread. Now, they got upset about it. As a matter of fact, they came to Moses and said, Moses, this, our soul loatheth this light bread that God has given unto us. But God met their need, not their greed. Could you imagine for 40 years, folks, 40 years in the wilderness, bread and quail? You know what God was doing? He was teaching them the same thing that David learned and David said, and that is that we are to rely on him. That God will take care of us and that we must commit ourselves unto him. Do you want what God wants? Or do you want what you want? Do you know that God is not really interested in what we can bring to pass? But you know what he's interested in tonight? He's interested in what God can do through you and through me. God is the one who works in us, the Bible says, to his good pleasure. Anybody know what the boiling point of water is? 212 degrees Fahrenheit. You're exactly right. Now, 211 degrees is hot. It's Starbucks hot. But just one degree can make a tremendous difference. And you know what? Without God, you're always 1 degree short. Short of the steam that you need to accomplish great things. Just one. Do you know, I was talking to someone the other day, and they were talking to me about someone they knew that they just recently found out that they were born with a hole in their heart. Do you know, realistically, we are all born with a hole in our heart. And that hole can only be filled by God. That's why on one occasion to a man who was lame, Jesus said unto him, "Wilt thou be made whole, complete?" There is a deficiency in our lives without God. And God teaches us to allow Him to fill the hole. So we have to rely upon Him. But then last of all, David says, and I really believe this is a great promise of God, that when we trust in God and when we spend that quiet time with Him, it teaches us to rest in the Lord. Look in verse 7. David said, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him that prospereth in the way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." Listen to it. He says, trust in the Lord. Rest in God. You know, some of us just don't know what that really, really means. Fret is, again, a Hebrew word. And it really means to burn. Do not burn. Spending time with God will help you reduce your blood pressure. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. It helps me. Some time ago, I was in the hospital over in Tyler with high blood pressure. And little did they know that Audrey and I had just had a domestic argument. No, I'm teasing. But a lot of things can trigger your blood pressure. But I've learned to bring that under control. I'm going to tell you the key to it, folks, is resting in God many times. I'm not saying there can't be something physiologically wrong with us that does that. That's true. But a lot of times it's because we do not spend time with God. We don't. We try to handle all of our problems without really resting in God. We get so busy. We do. But you know what? We should never, ever be too busy to rest in the presence of God. I hope tonight, as a Christian, I think by and large tonight we're talking to most of you that maybe at some point along the way have been touched by some of these same things that I'm talking about. But I think many of us sometimes never just stop to think about it. But you know, when you really stop and you analyze and you think about it, I think you'll agree that what I'm telling you tonight is true. Many of us have to rest in the presence of God. It's like the book, actually, of Isaiah chapter 40 says, "They that wait upon the Lord." You know what it means to wait upon God? It means to rest. Wait. Wait. "Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and faint not." Wait upon the Lord and renew your strength. Quiet time. It's so important. Let me challenge you to do that this week. Set aside. I don't care when it is. You can do it in the morning. You can get up at 5 o'clock. If you're in trouble, call me. I'll be up. Get up in the morning a little early. Spend some time just with you and God. I'm going to tell you, you can't help but feel better and feel blessed when you do. Now tonight you may not be a Christian. You may not be a child of God. And you can't rest in the Lord unless you are in the Lord. You can't rely upon God if He's not your God. But tonight, if you want to make Him your Lord, then you can do that very simply. It's not as simple as saying, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. God never taught you to do that, and He certainly doesn't tonight. But He does teach us if that we would come to Him. He'll give us the rest we're talking about. Listen to Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your souls. Maybe that's just what you need tonight, a good rest in God. If you're not a Christian tonight, you can obey the Lord by confessing Jesus and repenting of your sin and by being baptized tonight for the remission and the removal of all those sins. And Sam has selected our song of encouragement and exhortation, and it is the invitation and exhortation of heaven, but it's also the invitation of this church, and we invite you to come now while we stand and as we sing.
Oh, do not let the word depart and close thine eyes against the light. Poor sinner, heart.